Alright, I will say good morning. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Mem Tes. We are picking up actually a few lines before the Mishnah. On Mem Ches Amud Beis. And specifically, we are picking up with Reish Rabbanan V'Sefer Rebbe. So it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, we're not going to go through the whole Braisa again, but yesterday we ended off with a Braisa that seemed to yield contradictory results. So the Gemara said, Reish Rabbanan V'Sefer Rebbe. Is the Reish reflecting the view of the Rabbanan V'Sefer Rebbe? So remember again, what's the fundamental machlokis, Rebbe and the Rabbanan? The fundamental machlokis is when you invite someone into your chatzar, does that invitation come with automatic assumption of responsibility for the safety and security of that individual? The Rabbanan say yes. If I invite you into my chatzar, I am guaranteeing your safety. He said, if you get damaged, I am responsible for that. Rebbe, on the other hand, says no. Rebbe says the only time you assume explicit responsibility for your guests' well-being and safety is if you explicitly undertake that responsibility. There's a secondary issue that then comes up, which is, what happens if my guest is damaged by a third party, not me, but by someone else? So lemaisa, again, do I have liability for that? For that damage that was visited upon him, that's a further machlokes. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Elazar Tavra, Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu." It must say that the Braisa really, again, has two different authors. The first part is Rabbi, second part is the Rabbanan. Amar Rav Elazar, sorry, Rava Amar Kula Rabbanani. So Rava says, "No, the entire Braisa reflects the view of the Rabbanan." Aidi Dinasiv Reisha Shamru Tana Seifa Va'ani Yeshmarenu. And according ultimately again to Rava, the Mishnah was just trying to, or let's say the Braisa, was trying to preserve some level of textual symmetry. And since the opening statement used the word Shamro, where the Balabos ultimately again said to the Balashor, watch your ox. Therefore again, the Seifa uses the parallel Lashon of Va'ani Eshmarenu. Rapapa Amar Kula Rebbe. Rapapa says, no, the entire Braisa says Rebbe. The Savalak Rebbe Tarfon. The Amar Karen Bechatzar Nizak Shalim. Excuse me. The Amar Karen Bechatzar Hanizak Nezek Shalim Mishalim. So ultimately, Rebbe says, Rapapa says, the entire Braisa reflects the view of Rebbe, but yet he holds like Rebbe Tarfon, who holds that Karen in the Rishus of the Nizak carries with it a Nezek Shalim penalty. Hilchach. Therefore, Amar Le Shamru Lo Makni Le Makom Bechatzar Vahavi Le Karen Bechatzar Hanizak. Therefore, again, I will say, if I invite the Balashar in, and I tell the Balashar, you could come in, but you need to watch your ox. Therefore, by definition, I am not giving him space in my chatzar. Therefore, when he is damaged in the chatzar, that is not the habile karen b'chatzar hanizak. The karen b'chatzar hanizak mishalim nezek shalim. Therefore, again, that'll be considered to be Karen in the Chatzar of the Nizak, and the damager will have to pay Nezek Shalim. Lo Amar Le Shamro. But if he did not say, I will watch it, Aknui, excuse me, if he did not say, you watch it, but instead, I will watch it, Aknui Akni Le Makom B'Chatzar, ultimately, again, he is giving him over a part of the Chatzar, the Havidei Chatzar Shutvin, the Karen B'Chatzar Shutvin, Enu Mishalim Ele Chatzin Nezek. And if he gives him a space, then ultimately, again, it becomes joint property. Karen committed in joint property ultimately carries with it a chatzi nezek penalty. Fine. Says the Mishnah. Shor shahayim miskavim lechaveira v'hika asaisha v'yatsu yiladeha. Bosei v'shor was intending to damage its fellow shor. But what happened? It ended up damaging a woman. V'yatsu yiladeha. And she miscarried. So what's the halacha? Pater midinei volados. Ultimately, again, I will say, now the halacha is sort of brings down that when you go ahead and a person, or I should say a shor, injures a pregnant woman, so the halacha is that not only do you have to pay regular damages towards a pregnant woman, but you also have to pay what we call dmei velados. Now we'll discuss what dmei velados means, but some type of change in value between a pregnant woman and a woman who miscarried. So the Mishnah is pointing out over here that if the shor's intention was to gore another shor, but it accidentally gored a pregnant woman and she miscarried. So the Baal HaShor, the owner of the ox, is chayiv to pay for damages, but not chayiv to pay for what we call dmei velados, the value of the miscarriage. But a man whose intention was to strike his fellow, but instead he ended up striking a pregnant woman, then she miscarried. In that case, Rabbi Osai, he does have to pay for the damages done for the miscarriage. So you see, the Gemara is pointing out the difference over here is, if a shor had intention to damage a shor, but instead damaged the pregnant woman and she miscarried, so the bala shor is not chayev for those damages for the miscarriage. However, if a person had intention to damage his fellow, but instead he ends up damaging the pregnant woman and she miscarries, so a person is liable for that miscarriage damage. So the Gemara says, so what is the mevalados? Meaning, what is this value for this damage that we call the value of pregnancy? So, shamanas ha'isha kamihi yafa achlo yalda, v'kamihi misha yalda. Very simple. Let's see, we learned this a few days ago. That what we do is we look at how much money a pregnant woman is worth, so to speak, meaning what's her value on the slave market, and recognizing that a woman who is carrying a child, we're assuming, has a greater value because ultimately she's going to produce offspring. So we look at her value with the offspring, and we look at her value again if she wasn't pregnant, and ultimately dmei velados is the difference in those values. That's the amount you have to pay. So the Gemara says, "V'kamei b'shiyado." I'm Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Top of mem." Now, both sides, Rav Shimon Gamliel says a cryptic statement, which the Gemara will explain. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I guess you're telling me then that when a woman is pregnant, she's worth more than when she's not pregnant. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel is challenging that assertion. And he's saying, in fact, no, a woman who's not pregnant, in fact, is worth more occult on the open slave market than a woman who is pregnant. We'll discuss exactly why that is. So the Gemara says, Ella, shaman es havlados kamehen yofin, benosein labal. So says the Gemara, rather, we go ahead and we evaluate what the value of the pregnancy is. Now that value, ultimately, again, is given to the husband. Given to the husband of the woman who was injured and miscarried. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, why do we give it to the husband? Shatora zach solo, d'chsiv bal isha. So we'll say, so really the answer to this is that this is simply a gzeras akosav. That the way the Torah phrases the halacha over here is that if you injure a pregnant woman and she miscarries, so the Torah commands the damager to pay the damages for the miscarriage ultimately to the husband. It's just a gzeras akosav. We'll discuss exactly what other values go to the woman. V'im ein labal. However, what happens if she's not married? Meaning, let's say her husband died. So what's the halacha? No sin liyarshav. You pay the money to the inheritors, to the heirs of the husband. Ha'isa shifcha v'nishtachrera. O giores. We'll say, let's say she is an emancipated maidservant. Or she's a convert. Now, if you look at Rashi, what are these cases? Ha'isa shifcha v'nishtachrera. Kilomar. Ha'isa mishukhreres. O giores nisua lager. O le'evin mishukhrer. V'ein la baal shemes. Potter. So we'll say, so this would be a case, essentially the Gemara's point, with the Mishnah setting up over here, is let's say this is a case of a woman who's married, but her husband is dead, and there are no heirs. So how does that happen? Very simple. Let's say, again, she married a ger. Let's say she herself is a giores, or she herself is a shifra sheneshtachar, which means she has no offspring. She has no extended family. And now she married a guy. The guy died without any heirs, right? Or the guy was a ger, he died without any heirs. So what do you do in this kind of case? So the Mishnah posits potter. In this kind of case, I will say, where there is no husband, and ultimately, again, there are no heirs of the husband, the Mishnah suggests that Lamaisi, the damager, will be potter from paying dmei velados, will be potter from paying for the value of the miscarriage. Okay, says the Gemara, Taima de miskavin lechavero. So the reason ultimately, again, that the shor is potter in the first case is why? Because the shor had intention to damage its friend, the fellow shor, but instead it ended up damaging a woman. Ha miskavin leisha mishalim demei velados. Rabosei appears that what? If the shor had intention to what? To damage the pregnant woman, that lamaisa, again, the owner of the shor, would be responsible for what we call dmei velados. Would be responsible I'm calling it the value of the miscarriage. So the Gemara says, let me have it to you. If the Rava de Barava, so this would seem to refute the position of Rava de Barava, because what does Rava de Barava say? Dam Rava de Barava, shvarim sheniskabnu liisha, peturim midmei velados. Rabosei Rava de Barava is of the opinion that if a shor had intention to go ahead and injure a woman, that the shor is putter from dnei velados. That the shor is putter ultimately, again, from paying for the value, the damages of the miscarriage. Also, just so you understand, the way the pasuk phrases the lashon of damages for miscarriage is ki yinatsu anoshim yachdov v'nogfu isha hara. So the way the pasuk frames it is that two guys are fighting, and one of them accidentally injures a pregnant woman, and she miscarries. So the way the Torah phrases the damages for miscarriage is that it's people. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that it sounds like from the Mishnah that the reason why in the first case the Mishnah, the Bala Shor is Potter, is because the Shor didn't have intention to injure the woman. The Shor had intention to injure a fellow Shor. He just accidentally, unintentionally injured a woman. But it sounds like had the Shor intentionally injured the woman, that he would be chayiv for Dmei Velados. The Gemara says that's just interesting because Rav Adar Bar Abba says that Shvarim Shel Iskabim Leisha Ptur Midmei Velados. So Rav Adar Bar Abba is of the opinion that I will say a shor is shaykh in damages, but not shaykh to this particular miscarriage damage. So the Gemara says, "Amud l'char Rav Adar Bar Abba, who adinda afilin es kamni shanam p'turim midmei velados." So Rav Adar Bar Abba says, "Look, I still think I'm correct that even if the shor had intention to damage the woman, there's still no dmei velados." So why does the Mishnah write? Why does the Mishnah frame the case as a shor that had intention to damage its fellow shor, but instead damaged a woman? Because the Rebbe says, since the end of the Mishnah wanted to speak about a case of a person who had intention to damage his fellow, and what happened? Accidentally damages a pregnant woman. Because remember again, this is how the pasuk itself is phrased. As we just said before, the pasuk itself says ki yinatsu anashim yachdov. Therefore, katani reisha nami shor shay miskavin lechaveiro. So we'll say what the Gemara now is suggesting is the following: that lamaisa a shor is always potter from dmei velados. Whenever if a shor damages a pregnant woman, and as a result ultimately goes ahead and she miscarries, a shor will always be potter from that sug, from that category of damages. So why does the Mishnah go ahead and frame this as a case of a shor that had intention to damage its fellow, but ended up damaging a woman? Because it wanted to preserve Mishnaic symmetry. That since the last part of the Mishnah was dealing with a case of a guy who wanted to damage his fellow, but instead damages a pregnant woman, and the Mishnah set up the case that way because that's the paradigmatic case, that's how the Torah frames the case, so the Mishnah just frames the Reisha in the same way. A shor that wanted to damage his fellow shor, but instead damaged a woman. But Ein Hachinami, even if the shor intentionally damaged the pregnant woman, the shor will be chayiv for certain damages, but will not be chayiv for dmei velados. Amar Papa, shor shenaga chasashiv chaviyatsu yiladeha, mishalim dmei velados. So we'll say, Papa says, but there is an exception. What's the exception to the rule? A shor that goes ahead and gored a shivcha. So we'll say, up until now, we are focusing on what? That a shor goes ahead and damages a pregnant woman. So that's we'll call it a regular woman. However, again, in the case of where the shor went ahead and damaged a shifcha, let's say a person has a shifcha kinanis, she's pregnant, my shor damages the shifcha kinanis and she miscarries, everyone will agree that what? I'm chayiv in that case. What? What are you talking about? We just said before that according to Rav Adar Bar Abba, which seems to be the Gemara Paskin, is that what? That a shor is not chayiv for dmei velados. Yet here you just told me that if the shor gores a pregnant shifcha and she miscarries, I am me being the owner of the shor, I am chayiv for that. So what's going on over here? Oh, my time, huh? We'll say chamarta ma'abarta ma'abarta ma'alma hu da'azik. Because it's like my ox injured another pregnant ox. We'll say, which means what? That lamais, again, remember, an eved is karka, an eved is property. Therefore, interestingly enough, we view because the eved is a possession, so lamais, again, the laws are different. So therefore, again, when it comes to the shor injuring what we'll call a regular pregnant Jewish woman, that the shor is not chayiv for dmei velados. If one shor, let's say one shor were to gore another pregnant shor, and as a result, that pregnant shor would miscarry, what would be the halacha? The halacha would be that the shor, the goring shor, has to pay damages for the loss of the pregnancy as well. The Gemara posits that essentially a pregnant shifcha is the same thing as a pregnant shor. And therefore, again, lemaisa, under those circumstances, the shor would have to pay dmei velados. So the Gemara says, the Amakra, how do we know this? Shavulachem poim achamor im adom elachamor. So we'll say we've quoted this limit a number of times, where Avram says, ultimately, again, to his Na'arim. He says, Shulach HaPoim HaChamor, stay here with the donkey. And Chazal understood that as a reference ultimately to Eliezer. Eliezer was an Eved, and therefore again, Avram ultimately making a statement that an Eved is like property. An Eved is like one's donkey. Therefore, by definition, Madom HaChamor telling us that an Eved is property like anything else. And therefore, although we established that if a shor gores a pregnant woman, the shor is not chayiv for dmei volados. That's only with a regular Jewish woman. However, again, with a shifcha kinanis, ultimately the shor will be chayiv for all damages, including dmei volados. Weiter, keter mishan dmei volados. We'll say, remember, the Mishnah says, so how do we evaluate dmei volados? So the Gemara answered, the Mishnah answered by saying, essentially we take the value of a pregnant woman, we take the value of a woman who is not pregnant, and the difference between those two amounts is Demei Volados. So says the Gemara, Demei Volados, Shevach Volados Mi Baile. Why do you call it the value of the fetus? You should call it the appreciation of the fetus. In other words, we're assuming over here that a pregnant woman is worth more than a woman is not pregnant. Therefore, by definition, call it Shevach Volados, the appreciation of pregnancy, and not Demei Volados. So the Gemara says, Halchi Nami Kamer, you're right. Keitzed Mishalim Demei Volados, V'Shevach Volados. So we'll say, now the Gemara suggests something very interesting, which is that in fact, there are two different payments. There's Demei Volados and Shevach Volados. So Demei Volados means the value of the fetus. Shevach Volados means the appreciation of pregnancy. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. The Rashi says it's right where the Gemara starts. We're in Rashi, about three Rashis in. Demei Volados, Shevach Volados. So Rashi says, Diktani Shamanes Haisha, V'yesh Bichlal Shumazu, Demei Volados. So we'll say, so on one hand, there's the valuation of the fetus, the valuation of the pregnancy. Umasha Isha Niris Mishubachas, Ubalas Evarim Mipneha of Haubar, Demahai Karnavos. I see this is interesting. So a woman, what's the right word?
fills out.
That's the right word. That's right. Because ultimately, again, there's literally more woman. It's like if you remember again, it's like what we saw yesterday, Lahabdu Alef Alte Rive Habdolos, with the pregnant shore, right? Remember again, there's more shore. So because that's a bad comparison, but you understand, but because there's more shore, ultimately there's an appreciation and value. The Gemara suggests over here that Lamaisa, there are two forms of appreciation in a pregnant woman. There's an appreciation because she's carrying life. I don't mean that like on a hashkafah level, I mean like on a monetary level. The idea is that, let's say again, if she were to be a shifra, there's another eved in there. There's another eved in there. That's one part. We call that Demei Volados. Then there's something called Shevach Volados, which means that a woman being pregnant has a more robust, fuller appearance. There is an appreciation in her value for that by itself as well. So the Gemara now suggests the following. The Gemara says, so Ketzim Shalim Dnei Volados Shevach Volados, Shamin Es Ha'isha Kamehi Yafa, Ad Shelo Yolda, V'Kamehi Yafa Mishi Yolda. Ultimately, we go ahead and we evaluate how much was she worth before she gave birth, how much is she worth after she gives birth. So we'll say, Shimon Gamliel says that. Shimon Gamliel comes along and says, Mishnah, Tanakama, you are presupposing that a pregnant woman is worth more than a woman who is not pregnant. So Rav Shimon Gamliel seems to challenge that assertion. Says the Gemara, where is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying, Amud Rabba, Hachi Kamar, V'chi'isha Mishavachas Kodim Shetele Yosem Mishachas Shetele. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, do you think that a woman before she gives birth is worth more money after she gives birth? V'alo isha Mishavachas La'achar Shetele Yosem Kodim Shetele. Rav Shimon Gamliel says of the opinion that what? That a woman is actually worth more after she gives birth than before she gives birth. Now, what's Rav Shimon Gamliel's logic? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'alo isha Mishavachas Bidomim La'achar Shetelet Dimitchila Dameha Pechusin Limakir Shemesukenes Hilamos B'tzar Leida. So say, here's what's amazing. Rav Shimon Gamliel says a pregnant woman by definition is worth less than a woman who's not pregnant. Why? Because pregnancy, as we know, comes with incredible inherent risks. And especially, again, I mean, I don't know what the mortality rates from childbirth were at the times of the Gemara, but they must have been somewhat significant. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says a pregnant woman is worth less. Why? because she's in an active state of sakhanas nefasho. So we also remember, the way we create these valuations is based on what someone would pay for a slave on the slave market. If I was purchasing a shifcha kinanis, how much would I purchase her for? So up until now, everyone's assuming that I pay a premium for a pregnant shifcha because I'm pretty much getting kind of like a twofer, right? I'm getting the shifcha, knowing that she's going to give birth to more eved or to more shifcha offspring. Rosh Hagamilah says, no, you would actually buy her at a discount. Why? Because the mice, again, she's in a state of sakana. Therefore, by definition, once she gives birth, she's actually of higher value because Baruch Hashem, she's passed through the trial, the difficulties of childbirth without harm. So the Gemara says, Ella, shamanas havlados, benos nin labal. Rather, what we do is we evaluate. See, so Rosh Hagamilah says, all of you are taking the difference between the value of a pregnant woman and the value of a woman who is not pregnant, assuming that if an unpregnant woman is worth Y, the pregnant woman is worth X plus Y. And you take that difference and you go ahead and you pay that. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I have a different valuation. I think what you do is you just evaluate the value of a fetus. Essentially, they're both saying, you could buy futures, right? So a shifcha is pregnant. How much would I pay for that future offspring? So obviously, again, not knowing, is it a boy, is it a girl, is it going to be healthy? But there's a value to that. How much would I pay for the future right for that eved or that shifcha that is currently in utero? And says Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's dmei velados. Tanya Rabbi Achir, right, that supports this. V'chi isha mishabachas kodim shetele, yosem yil achar shetele. Do you think that a woman is worth more before she gives birth than after she gives birth? V'alo isha mishabachas la'achar shetele, yosem yikodim shetele. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, not true, a woman is worth more after she gives birth than before she gives birth. But rather what we do is we just simply evaluate the value of the fetus and we give that to the husband. So Rava Amar Hachi. Hachi goes on. Rava says this, I have to read it. V'chi isha l'mishe yoledes mishabachas v'ein la'atzma b'shevach v'lodes klum. So we'll say, Rava introduces a new dynamic and Rava says, Do you think that the appreciation of a woman, of a pregnant woman, that appreciation only belongs to her husband and she has no part in that, meaning does she have absolutely no stake in any of these damages? Because also remember, again, it's a pretty, if you think about it, again, it is Gzeres HaKasov, so whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind, he has in mind. But it is interesting that the woman is getting injured over here. She's miscarrying, and yet it sounds like all of the damages for that miscarriage go to the husband. So what's the pshat? So Rabbi comes along and says, V'chi isha l'mishia ledes mishavachas. Does a pregnant woman only appreciate for her husband? V'ein li'atzma b'shevach v'lados klum. And does she have no share in this, in financially, in this appreciation? So the Gemara, listen to this. Rather, says the Gemara, when it comes to what we call Dmei Velados is the value of the fetus. So that ultimately goes to the husband. The Shevach Velados Cholkin. So we just said before that what? There are two forms of payment. There's what we call Dmei Velados, which is the value of the fetus. However you're valuing it. Remember, there's Machlokas, how to evaluate that. According to the Tanna Kamma, the way you evaluate Dmei Velados is how much is a pregnant woman worth pregnant, or how much is a woman worth pregnant, how much is she worth not pregnant. And that difference is Dmei Velados. Or that's according to one opinion. Or a second opinion, you're just valuing the fetus by itself. But there's another value, which is what? Shevach Velados, which is what Rabbi Osai, her personal appreciation. Now that she is quote-unquote larger, now that she is more robust, so by definition, there's a greater financial appreciation as well. So Rava suggests that Dmei Velados, the value of the fetus, that goes to the husband. Shevach Velados, her appreciation, because now she's a more robust person, so that by definition is split between the woman and her husband. Tanya, that supports this. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, can it be true that a woman only appreciates for her husband, but she has no share in the appreciation? Elo, rather, what do we do? Shaman nezek bifnei atzmo, v'tzar bifnei atzmo. Oh, so we also listen to this. Rather, what do? We evaluate damages by themselves. We evaluate tsar by itself. Tsar is just pain and suffering. Bishamin es havlados. So the value of the fetus, benos and labal, goes to the husband. The shevach velados cholkin. And ultimately, again, however, the shevach, we call pregnancy, general pregnancy appreciation. The GPA. the general pregnancy appreciation, right? So that amount ultimately, again, is going to be split between the woman and her husband. Rav Osei, what comes out of this is, Kashid Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, what's the question over here? Look at Rashi, second white line Rashi. Kashid Rav Gamliel, Ta'akatani v'shevach v'lados cholkin, alma isha mishtamachas, limok, yekishyara. So Rav Osei, here's the problem. The problem is Rav Shimon Gamliel came to us with a premise that a pregnant woman is worth less than a woman who's not pregnant. Yet, in this brisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel clearly indicates that what? That a pregnant woman has a greater value than a woman who's not pregnant. So which one is it? Is a pregnant woman worth more or not worth more? To which the Gemara says, Lokashia, kan bimivakeres, kan b'shein mivakeres. Well, so it's actually quite amazing, and it also just gives you an incredible insight into the times. The Gemara suggests, when does Rav Shimon Gamliel say that a pregnant woman is worth less than a woman who's not pregnant? That's first pregnancy. What does it mean, first pregnancy? Look at Rashi b'mivakeres, third wide line down. Dameha pechusin, she's worth less when it's her first pregnancy. Why? Kodem leida mila achaleida de misukenesi. So we'll say, when a woman is pregnant for the first time, what we don't know is what? We don't know how she's going to handle the pregnancy, right? We don't know how she's going to do. We have no track record. So because of that, Rav Shimon Gamliel posits she is worth less. Masha'inkein, if this is already post-first child, she knows about pregnancy, she knows about childbirth, and ultimately, again, we could gauge how she's going to handle this particular experience. V'rabbanan da'amri, shevach v'lodos na'vi l'bal. So we'll say, however, remember, the Rabbanan are of the opinion that all monies go to the husband. So not only what we call demei v'lodos, the value of the fetus, but even her general pregnancy appreciation also goes to the husband. So the Gemara says, my time, what is the Rabbanon's, what's the Rabbanon's logic for this? Kidisnan, mimashma shenera v'yatsu yiladeho, eni yodeh shiara. So we'll say, the pasuk is the following. V'chiyinatsu anoshim, v'nagfu ishahara, v'yatsu yiladeho. So we'll say, two men are fighting. One of them accidentally knocks a pregnant woman, and she miscarries. Now, the Gemara asks the following. You don't need to tell me she's pregnant if you're telling me that what? She miscarries. So why do you need to tell me she was pregnant and she miscarries? Just tell me that they've knocked into a pregnant woman and she miscarried. And of course, I know that she's pregnant. Why do they need to mention, Matam ala mahara, lomar lacha, shevach hirayon labal, to teach you Rabosai, because remember, the way the pasuk ends off is that, anoshi anesh, kasher yashes ala bal. So ultimately, the perpetrator is punished and the monies go to the husband. Tells us that what? Any monies associated with the pregnancy go to the husband. So we'll say both what we call dmei velados, the value ultimately of the fetus, as well as shevach velados, general pregnancy appreciation, both of those amounts, any amounts due to pregnancy, go to the husband. I, but Rav Shimon Gamliel, hi hara my darish pei. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, what do you do with this word hara? Mi barle lichi disanya. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, amr li olam eno chayiv achi yakena kineged beis hayirayon. To teach us, Rav Osai, that in the case of injuring a pregnant woman and she miscarries, one is only chayiv if the injury itself inherently had the ability to cause her to miscarry. For example, again, the injury took place somewhere around beis hayirayon, means her stomach. Her stomach. Amra papa, lo tema keneged beis hayirayon mamish. So the injury doesn't have to take place mamish right by the stomach. Ella, kol hechad disalik beis sheichma levlad. So we'll say what it means is that the injury is in such a way that this is an injury that normally would be capable of causing her to miscarry. La fuke, this comes to exclude yad v'regel delo. So we'll say, for example, so if Reuven and Shimon are fighting, and what happens? And Reuven accidentally goes ahead and injures the foot of the pregnant woman, and then she miscarries. So that would not be a case where Reuven would be chayiv for that miscarriage. Why? Because that's not considered to be an injury that's we'll call it miscarriage inducing. So therefore, the Rabbanon will say that the word hara comes to teach us that what? That lamaisa, again, you're only chayiv for causing the pregnant woman to miscarriage if it's clear that this is the type of injury that could result in miscarriage. So we'll say, so again, what's coming out over here is this. So first of all, we have so far as the following. We have two different types of damages. We have what we call Dmei Volados, and the Dmei Volados is the value of the fetus. How you evaluate the fetus will be a Machlokes of Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon. And we have Shevach Volados, which is general pregnancy appreciation. Dmei Volados, everyone is agreeing, is going to go to the husband. Shevach Volados seems to be, at least according to one opinion, to be split between the wife and the husband. Rav Shimon Gamliel says a pregnant woman is worth less than an unpregnant woman out of concern that a pregnant woman is in a state of Sakana. Rav Shimon Gamliel seems to qualify that ruling and say that's dafka with her first pregnancy. But with subsequent pregnancies, after she has a track record of being able to survive childbirth, then lemaisa, again, her value as pregnant is actually greater than her value as being unpregnant. Says the Gemara, Haisa Shifcha v'nishtachar agiyoris pater, Samarabba, Lo shanu ela shechaba babachayya. So also remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, if Reuven goes, Reuven's fighting with Shimon, accidentally injures a pregnant woman, she miscarries. So the Mishnah said, if the pregnant woman was a shifcha, an emancipated shifcha, or she was a giyores, and let's say again, her husband was a ger as well, and he died, and there are no heirs, so the halacha is, the perpetrator is pater from paying to dmei volados. If there's no husband, you're pater paying to dmei volados. Amar Rabba, Rabba said, lo shanu ela shecha v'b'chai hager v'meis hager. Rabba said, this is only true if the man injured the pregnant woman while her husband was alive, and then her husband died. The ger died. The chayvan de chava b'b'chai hager zacha b'hu ger. Because we'll say this way, when the husband was alive, he became entitled, he was entitled to the dmei volados. Then he dies. The chayvan de meis hager zacha b'hu min hager. And we'll say the halacha is that when a ger dies without children, his property becomes hefker. So Rabbi is suggesting the following. When does the Mishnah's din hold true? If, let's say, again, if the woman herself who has no heirs, she's, let's say, a giyores, or she's a shifcha shenishtachara, she is married to a ger who has no offspring as well. So if the injury occurred during the lifetime of her husband, that means her husband acquired the monies. Payment didn't occur yet. Husband dies before payment. So essentially, again, when husband dies, his property becomes hefker, including that property, again, is this entitlement to payment for dmei volados. So essentially, we'll say what happens. The damager gets to keep the money. Why does he keep the money? Because he's effectively acquired it from hefker. So the Gemara says, "Aval chavav ala achar misas hager." But if the injury to the woman took place after the death of her ger husband, then what? Zachya lo ihi bigavayu. She herself has acquired the money. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting, or Rabba is suggesting, is that if husband was already dead at the time of the injuries, then in that case, again, the damager has to pay the woman herself. So the Gemara says, Zachila ibik avayu mechayiv l'shalom la ledido. Amar Rav Chisda, Mari dichi, who is the one who taught this ruling? Atu vlados tsrari ninhu, is a fetus considered to be a bundle, a piece of property? The zachya bahu, that somehow again, ultimately, someone could just acquire it. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Tsrari ninhu, so kashri kishrei ma'osu ksafim hein, shetizakabam in a hefker, is this fetus, is the vlados just something you could acquire from hefker? So the Gemara says, Ela, d'ise lebal zachali rachmana. So rather, again, Rav Chisda comes along and says like this. If there is a husband who is alive, he acquires the dmei volados. Lesse lebal, if there's no husband who's alive, lo. So we'll say, so comes along Rav Chisda and argues on Rabba. Rav Chisda will say that lemaisa, the payment for dmei volados is a payment that is unique and given to the husband. If there is a live husband, then by definition there's a payment for dmei volados. If there's no live husband, then what? There is no payment. So we'll say, the machlokes Rabba and Rav Chisda is really in the following case. Let's say at the time of the damage, the ger husband was already dead. According to Rabba, in that case, you would pay dmei volados to the woman. According to Rav Chisda, there is no obligation for dmei volados at all. So says the Gemara, Meisvei, Hikase isha v'yatzula denos inezek v'tzar li'isha u'dmei volados lebal. So we'll say, the Rezbrais is say, if a man injured a pregnant woman and she miscarried, you give the payment for nezek and tzar. We'll say, and remember, when one person injures another person, remember there are four different categories of damages. So the woman gets to keep her damages. She gets to keep her nezek, she keeps her tzar, pain and suffering, but dmei volados, the value of the fetus, that's given to the husband. Ein habal, however, again, if there is no husband on the scene, he died, no same liyar shav, you give the dmei volados ultimately again to his offspring. Ein ha'isha. What happens if there's no woman on the scene? Let's say after miscarrying, 5 days later, not as a result of miscarriage, another accident, she died. No sin liyosha. So we'll say then the payments for tsar, nezek, ripui, boshes, those amounts ultimately go to her offspring. Haisa shivcha v'nishtachara, o giores. So we'll say what happens if she is an emancipated maidservant or a gioris, in other words, so she has no offspring, zacha. Ultimately, again, the mazik has the ability to go ahead and keep the payment. So, if she died and then there are no offspring, then the mazik doesn't. Then the mazik gets to keep those payments. Amri, umimadifa mimas nisin, do kimna shechava b'chayi hager. Would we not go ahead? Why do we have to establish this brisa any differently than the way we established the Mishnah? How did we establish the Mishnah? They were talking about a case where ultimately she was injured while her husband was still alive. We must remember this is how Rabbi set up the case. That she was injured while the husband was still alive, which means what? The husband Ger was still alive, which means what? He acquired the rights to those payments. When he dies as a Ger without Yershin. If you die as a Ger without Yershin, then what? Then what? Hefker. And I've also said the way Hefker works in that case is the Mazik still has the money in his hand. The Mazik essentially reacquires the money from Hefker and he doesn't have to pay anyone. To which the Gemara says, Achanaim Shechav B'cha B'chai Hager, Umeis Hager. Therefore, we'll set up this price in the same exact way. V'baisim, the other possibility is La'achar Misas Hager. It could be that the injury is taking place even after the husband Ger was already dead, Amud Beis. V'tani Zochzah. And ultimately, again, it says that in fact she will acquire that money. And I was both like, the alternate reading of this brisa is that perhaps what? Is that perhaps the maisa, when damage occurred, when the husband was already dead, perhaps Eina Hinami, she does acquire those damages. Lima Kitarai. So we'll say, let's say that this is a machlok yesarim. So we'll say, what the Gemara that was going to suggest is the following. That what happens in a case where the husband is already dead, the ger husband, so there are no husband yarshim, there are no husband offspring. What happens in the case where the husband is already dead at the time when the miscarriage occurs? So the machlok yesarim is going to be, one opinion will say that there's no liability for payment, and there's no dmei velados. Where there's no husband, there's no dmei velados. Other opinion will say no. Where there's no husband, what happens? The value for the dmei velados goes to the isha, goes to the wife herself. The Gemara wants to just, let's say it's a machlokes tanoim. Ketanoi, basi saw she nisei sleger benis Abraham imenu. We'll say if a basi saw married a ger and she became pregnant, the chava ba bechaye hager, and somebody injures her while her ger husband is still alive. So what's the halacha? No sin dmei velados leger. The ger husband gets the dmei velados. The husband gets the value of the fetus. La'achra misa sager. What happens, however, if the injury and miscarriage takes place after the ger husband is already dead? So, tani chada chayiv, v'tani chada potter. So we'll say there are two versions of the brisa. So one version of the brisa has it that when the ger husband is dead, then ultimately the mazik is chayiv to pay dmei velados to the isha. And another brisa has it as what? That the mazik is potter from paying dmei velados. My love, Tanai Ninu. So we'll say, will we not say that this brisa reflects a view that what? There's a machlokes Tanai. In other words, there's a machlokes Tanai, but we'll say about what do I do with dmei velados where the ger husband is dead? Well, the reason we're using ger husband is why? Because there are no relatives. There are no relatives. So what happens with dmei velados in a case where there are no, husband is dead and there are no relatives? So one opinion will say, well, if there's no husband, no payment. The husband of the dmei velados, second opinion says, no, when there's no husband, what do you do? What do you do? You pay it to the isha, you pay it to the wife. So the Gemara says, L'rabba, v'adai tanoim. So we'll say, Rabba will agree that in fact this is a machlokes tanoim. El Rav Chista, mi lema tanoi. But Rav Chista says, no, this price of need not reflect the idea of this machlokes tanoim. Rather, what will you say? Lo kasha, harabanan, harab shemin amyo. And we'll say, ultimately, again, it reflects two different opinions. One being Rav Shimon Gamliel, one ultimately again being the Rabbanan. Look at Rashi, Lokasha, Kilomar Amalecha Rav Chista Tarvalu Tanoi Kavasi Kaimi. Tibidmei Velados Pater. So we'll say Rav Chista will say that the Brisa, both opinions reflect my opinion, namely that where there is no husband, there is no obligation for Dmei Velados. So what's the meaning of the Brisa? Va'aliba, I'm sorry, Va'hodetz An Yechayiv B'Shevach Velados. So Rav Chista will suggest that when the Braisa said that when the husband's dead, the mazik is chayiv, Perhaps that's not for Dmei Volados. What is that for? That's for Shevach Volados. That's for general pregnancy appreciation. And ultimately, it reflects the view of Reb Shimon, who says that a woman gets half of general pregnancy appreciation, to which the Gemara Reb Shimon Amiel might hear the Achar Misa. If that's the case, that reflects the view of Reb Shimon Amiel, why does the Brice have to set it up as dealing with a case where the husband died? Afilu Mechayim Nami Isle Palga. A woman shares, or both say, a woman gets half of her general pregnancy appreciation, even when the husband is alive, to which the Gemara says, "Mechayim isle paga la'achra misa kule," to teach us that Rav say when the husband is alive, the woman gets 50% of general pregnancy appreciation, but after the husband is dead, what happens? She gets all of it. If the other possibility is ha rishim amliel, both could reflect the yer rishim amliel. Ha kan b'shevach v'lados, kan b'dmei v'lados. When we say that ultimately, again, when we say that the woman has to, that the woman gets that the mazik is chayiv, that's talking about shevach v'lados, general pregnancy appreciation. When we say that the mazik is pater, that's talking about dmei v'lados. Amri b'shevach v'lados. Lishma demei volados. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, from the halacha concerning shevach volados, we can learn out the halacha concerning demei volados. Umid Reb Shimon Amiel, Lisham Rabbanan, and Rabbi Shimon Shidis Reb Shimon Amiel, we can learn about what Rabbanan actually hold. Amri, lo, shevach volados, the sheikh yada begavayo zachya bokulu. So we'll say, here's the difference. The difference is we understand why, when the husband is alive, she gets 50% of her shevach volados. Therefore, it's intuitive to say that what? When the husband is dead, she gets all of it. On the other hand, demei volados to lo sheikh yada begavayo. Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to demei volados, which is the value of the pregnancy, the value of the fetus, Lemaisa, again, she has no shaykhis to that. Therefore, again, I would think that when the husband dies, lo zach yabuhu klal, she has absolutely no portion in that at all. So we'll say, so what we are left with over here is the following. Here's what we know. In a simple case, where a pregnant woman is gored and miscarries and there's a living husband, that money goes to the husband. That's what we know. That's the simple paradigmatic case. When, however, the husband is dead, so that's a machlokes, Rabbi Osai. So it seems to be, again, one opinion will say that lemaisa, those money, if there's no husband, no payment. Second opinion says no. When there's no husband, ultimately, again, that payment goes to the isha. Now, Rabbi Osai, now one thing that everyone will agree with as well, which is that, remember, in the realm of damages for pregnancies, there are two damages. There's Dmei Volados and there's Shevach Volados. Dmei Volados is the payment for the fetus, and is general pregnancy appreciation. Everyone will agree that for Shevach, well, not everyone, but we'll see, but Shevach Volados, she's already getting half of that during the lifetime of the husband, which means what? That when the husband is dead, she's going to get 100% of that. The only Shaila is with Dmei Volados. Does she get payments for Dmei Volados in the absence of the husband? Suppose I said that is a machlokis, which we still have to resolve. The Gemara goes on a little bit of a detour. Boi minei Rav Yeva Saba mirav Nachman. Hamachzik bishtarosav shel ger mahu. Suppose it is an interesting case. What happens if a ger dies without children, right? He dies without children. So what happens? He left behind loan documents. Loan documents, so those are mortgages, right? So loan documents, and ultimately, again, those loan documents really create a lien against land. So if someone goes ahead and takes possession of the shtar of a ger who died without yershim, Rashi says, b'shtaro shel ger, sheshibei lo yisrael achar karka osav, that a Jew pledged his land to this ger in the shtar. So what's the halacha? Man demachzik, b'shtara adaiti de'aruhu demachzik. So do we say that when a person takes possession of this document, they really have in mind to take possession of the land? Uba'ara holo achzik. But Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, they haven't really taken possession of the land through the shtar. And therefore, again, if somebody else were to come and take possession of the land before the individual holding this, so Rabbi Osai, here, I'm sorry, let me clarify this a little bit more. So what this case is dealing with the following. A ger has a piece of land, a ger has a shtar in his possession, which essentially gives him a claim against the land of the Yisrael. Right? So we'll call him Reuben the ger dies, and in his possession are documents that give him a lien against Shimon's property. He has the right of collection against Shimon's land. Reuben the ger dies without Yershin. Levi comes along and decides to take possession of these documents. So the shaila now is, does Levi have the ability to go and seize the land of Shimon? So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, it depends as to what was the mindset of Levi when he picked up that shtar. When he picked up that shtar, did he have in mind to acquire the karka? But if he had in mind to acquire the karka, ultimately, again, I will say the truth is you can't really acquire the karka through that shtar. Remember, again, in order to acquire karka, what do you have to do? You have to do a chazaka, right? You have to do a proprietary act. Therefore, when Levi comes along and picks up the shtar of Reuven the Ger, and he has in mind to acquire Shimon's property, that acquisition does not really work. Now, I will say, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina for that is, remember, if someone else will call him Yehuda, were to run over to Shimon's property and plant his flag, because remember, Shimon's property represents now Nichse HaGer, property of a Ger, which is ownerless, which is Hefker. So if Yehuda were to now come along and plant his flag in Shimon's property, then Yehuda would acquire it ultimately again before Levi, the guy who had the shtar. So the Gemara says, do we say on one hand, Ushtar Nalakon, Vab Daiti Ashtara? Oh, I'm sorry, Ushtara Nami. Ushtara nami lokana, the lava daiti ashtara. And ultimately, again, so we'll have to stop. Well, let me just finish this. So, yo dilma, daiti nami ashtara. So, we'll say, so the shayla over here is Reuven is the ger, Shimon is the guy, Reuven the ger has the lien against Shimon's property, right? Levi is the guy who's coming and finding Reuven shtaros after Reuven died. So, do we say that on one hand, so Levi's intention is to acquire land, but she can't really acquire the land through the shtar, but Levi doesn't really have in mind to acquire the shtar. O dilma, daiti nami ashtara. Or do we say no, that Levi's intention is what? To acquire the shtar, which thereby gives him the right to acquire the land, which would then allow him to become the owner of the land. Amar le, ani mori, said to him, Rebbe, answer me. So what is the halacha in this case? Now, why would Levi want to acquire a piece of paper? What purpose does a piece of paper give for him? Is it going to be used as a bottle stopper? Amrle, yes. Latsor vilatsor, yes. Acquire the land. Acquire the shtar. Use it as the bottle stopper. And ultimately, what? Through acquiring the piece of paper, ultimately, again, he acquires the right to acquire the nichse ger, to acquire the property as well. And therefore, again, if he acquired the paper before Yehuda went ahead and planted his flag in the property of Shimon, in fact, again, Levi would be the rightful owner of the land. But in order to do that, he has to first have kavana to acquire the shtar itself. So if he has kavana to acquire the shtar, then by definition, he will acquire ultimately the property spelled down in that shtar as well. Otherwise, so we'll stop over here. I'm going to record the rest of the Gemara from here until the Mishnah. So tomorrow we'll start at the Mishnah at 6 o'clock. Shkoyach.